Hi, Karen. Welcome to Audio Gals. Over the last 2 years, you and I have had numerous discussions, both here at Audio Gals and speaking of audiobooks, but this is our first time to talk and record. Thanks for helping us with our new recording endeavor.
Well, I am very excited to be part of it. I enjoyed listening to your talk with Tavia last week, and I'm honored to be number two.
Well, good. Well, I think you know I discovered you in 2010 while listening to Julie James' Just the Sexiest Man Alive. Now in 2013, we've had the pleasure of hearing you narrate three additional Julie James titles, all entries in her FBI U.S. Attorney series. Please give our listeners some background on this ongoing series that will be continuing with the book we are giving away today, Love Irresistibly.
Sure. So I actually had to go back to Julie's website to make sure I got all the names right and everything, because it's been a couple of years that I've been working on these. And I was so excited to see, I just have to say this, that she has a little button over to the side where you can see the audio version and listen to a sample right there on her main website, which is, I think, pretty unique. So I was excited to see that and go... Julie, for having that. So the first book in the series is called Something About You. It's AUSA, Assistant U.S. Attorney Cameron Lind, versus FBI Special Agent Jack Palace. And these two are thrown together by chance. They have to overcome the fact that Jack publicly humiliated her several years ago because they have to work together on a case where she happens to have witnessed a murder. And then, of course, excitement ensues, and then they end up together. Then the next one is called A Lot Like Love. This one takes wine merchant heiress Jordan Rhodes with FBI Special Agent Nick McCall, who was from Brooklyn, and that was a lot of fun for me to do. He has to ask her to go undercover to help him with a case, and she has to pose as his date. And this, of course, leads to friction, and there's class issues, but they fall in love, and then she is able, with his help, to get her brother out of prison, who then appears in the next one called About That Night. Her brother, also an heir, billionaire, Kyle Rhodes, known as the Twitter terrorist, and he has been in prison but is now released. He is called upon by another AUSA, Rylan Pierce, to help her with a case. And it just so happens that they had met years ago back in college, but he stood her up on their date because his mother died, but she didn't know. So... she moved away, and now she's back, and, you know, there's lots of tension and friction, but obviously they get together in the end. So those are the three that lead up to Love Irresistibly.
Well, you know, this series has been a huge hit with our listeners. In fact, I'm listening to Love Irresistibly right now and thoroughly enjoying myself, and of course I knew I would. Why don't you tell our listeners something about the setup of Love Irresistibly?
So this one takes a woman whose name is Brooke Parker. She's the general counsel of a growing corporation in the food industry. They own restaurants as well as food vendors at large sports arenas. So that's her job. And then another AUSA, this time a man, whose name is Cade Morgan. And we met him because he's friends with Rylan Pierce in About That Night. He needs Brooke's help on a case that he's working on, which is how they meet. And they're both completely obsessed and involved in their careers. They're both commitment phobic for different reasons. So the book is about how they end up, obviously, coming together in the end.
Of course. It's got to be nice and romantic for us.
Yes.
Well, Melinda, one of my fellow audio gals, admits to ranting and raving continually about how perfect she thinks the pairing of your voice is with Julie's prose. I know both Brenda and I agree fully on that. In fact, the four James titles you have narrated to date all earned a place on our Three Gals Favorites list. Do you feel the connection when narrating that we do when listening?
You know, I do, and it's interesting because actually Just the Sexiest Man Alive was my very first romance audio. I had been narrating for almost 10 years at that point, but somehow never ended up doing romance. And I went back and sort of looked at her bio and my bio and was trying to figure out why is it that I do feel such a connection to her? And we have nothing in common in terms of our lives. I'm from the South. She's from Chicago, from city. I'm from small towns, although I've lived in big cities. Chicago is the one big city in America that I really haven't lived in. One of the bigger cities that I haven't lived in. I've lived in New York, Boston, LA, not Chicago. She's a lawyer. I'm an actress, you know, and we just don't on paper have a lot in common, but there's something about her sense of humor that just, I think, matches my sense of humor. And it's something about being optimistic, almost to the point of being Pollyannish, but having a little bit of snark in there, a little bit of a attitude, but really just wanting to be nice in the end. So it's that weird balance of things. You want to make people laugh, you want people to like you, but you also have to sort of stick a little dig in there every once in a while. And I have to say that I think my recordings of Julie's books are some of the most efficient because it's like I'm speaking like me. You know, it's like I'm having, sometimes when you're doing a book, it takes a while to sort of inhabit that person's voice comfortably, easily. With Julie, it's just there. I get it. So maybe we were twin sisters in another life.
I was very excited to hear that my favorite of Julie's books, Practice Makes Perfect, is finally making it to audio formats. For listeners who don't know her backlist, Practice Makes Perfect is her second book, yet it's going to be the last one recorded. Can you give us some insight as to why we had to wait so long for this particular title?
Well, I talked to Julie about it because she had actually contacted me a month or two ago to ask about self-publishing. And you had had Audio Gals had had an author come in and or you'd interviewed an author about her own experience. So we talked about it. But then I said, you know, why don't you just ask Tantor if they'd be interested in doing it? Because Just the Sexiest Man Alive was done by Penguin Audio, but that was several years ago. And then it was just about a year and a half ago that Tantor picked up the FBI U.S. Attorney series. And what Julie pieced together after she talked to her print editor about it was that it just fell between the cracks, that Penguin didn't happen to produce it and Tantor just didn't know about it because it was in print at least a year before the series. So as soon as she brought it up, they picked it up instantly. And thankfully, she requested that I record it.
Oh, good. Please give our listeners an idea of what they will find in Practice Makes Perfect and when we can expect to see it.
Well, I know you can expect to see it on May 27th, because I looked that up on the Tantor website. But honestly, I think you know more about this book than I do because I got up to page 19. I was so excited to read it. And then I got another book that I had to do right away. So now I'm stuck getting these books read and done. And I can't get to it. It's driving me crazy because I was on page 19 of 200. I'm so excited to hear the rest of the book. But I do know that it's two corporate lawyers who have been working together or in the same firm for 8 years. They're huge rivals, and they're put on a case where they have to not only work together, even though they don't really get along, but then they're in competition to be made partner. And I guess what's going to happen is that they've discovered their attraction to each other along the way.
Well, I know when I read Practice Makes Perfect, I laughed so much. It was literally one book that I would read and I would laugh and laugh. I would stop and I would go back and reread the passage. It was so good, and I would laugh and laugh all over again. So you have some really good lines to perform, and I'm sure you'll be able to take advantage of it. Julie's first two books, we're talking about them right now, Just the Sexiest Man Alive and Practice Makes Perfect. They're what I consider to be perfect contemporaries. There is no mystery, and actually there's very little in the way of intimate scenes. What differences, if any, do you see in these first two James books when compared to the books in her FBI U.S. Attorney series?
Well, it's interesting. I think that actually her approach shifts a lot over the course of the FBI U.S. Attorney series, in that the first two books, the heroines are actually in a lot of danger at one point, at least one point in the books, and that is a big focus of both Something About You and A Lot Like Love, as well as the romance. But then when you get to About That Night and Love Irresistibly, it becomes almost more procedural, you know, more like a cop drama, but not a mystery thriller, where you actually learn a lot about FBI U.S. attorney world, but there's not a lot of danger. And by the time you get to Love Irresistibly, I think she's gone back to what you see in Practice Makes Perfect, from what I can tell, which is, and this is what I really connect to with her, is real world issues of a two-career relationship. Now, it goes a little bit into fantasy in that everyone is absolutely gorgeous and always looks good and very sexy, you know, and they're really good at what they do. But have the real issues of what happens when both people are really good at their job, really when career is really important to them. And I think she exploits really well, then you become, they're less skilled in the relationship sector of their lives. They don't know how to fall in love, to be in love, to be in a relationship. And so they screw it up, and then they have to figure it out. And I love that as part of Love Irresistibly. And it seems like that's going to be a big part of Practice Makes Perfect. But I will say that Love Irresistibly has a lot of sex.
Oh.
A lot. They get involved physically before they're willing to admit that they're in love. So they have to practice that a lot.
Well, when you're just a few pages into Practice Makes Perfect, I'm not quite an hour into Love Irresistibly. So I'm going to have to just take your word on that. But I do think I appreciate the lack of sensuality she had in those first two books. And in fact, it was very unusual for me at the time, because you expect the heavy sensuality in most of your contemporary romances. But she does a very fine job with her love scenes as well. So you won't hear any complaints from this quarter, I'm sure.
Well, I will admit that I find her sex scenes quite enjoyable myself.
Okay. Can you share with us a few of your other projects you have in the works at this time?
Well, coming out next week is Rescue Me by Jill Shalvis. And Brenda is going to run a really fun giveaway on that. So everyone should look forward to that. It's number 3 in the Animal Magnetism series. And it actually has a quite different tone than the first two. Still has a lot of humor, but there's a little bit of a darker background for the main male character. But it's a really interesting book. I love that. And let's see, right now I'm working on what I call the anti-romance. They're selling it as a thriller, but I think it's much more of a psychological book. But it's about a woman who you find out in the very first paragraph that she's killed her husband. And then the rest of the book is how that happened. And it goes back and forth between her point of view and the husband's point of view. And it's a little scary, but it's psychologically scary, like, because you see how it happened. You see how one step led to another step, led to another step, and a perfectly, relatively normal human being could get to that point. And it's called The Silent Wife. And it's a first novel by a woman called A.S.A. Harrison. So it's a really interesting book. I'm enjoying working on that. And then two others I wanted to tell you about. One is a book that came out just a couple weeks ago that really was one of the most inspiring things I've read in a long time, just in my personal life as well as my work life. It's called Until I Say Goodbye, and it's by it's a memoir by Susan Spencer Wendell. And if I had just read about this book, you know, read the description, I never would have picked it up because I would have thought, oh gosh, this is just going to be too upsetting and too depressing. It's about a woman who's my age, who has three kids, who's diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, also called ALS. And it's a degenerative disease that's a life sentence. I mean, she is going to die very soon. But what's incredible about it is that once she accepted the diagnosis, she made the choice to live with joy, to travel with her loved ones. And she writes about it. She was a journalist in her professional life. And it is, again, it's one of the most inspiring things I've read in such a long time. And while it is sad, obviously, that she's the loss that she and her family are going through, the inspiration is how she faces it. And her words just echo inside me. Still, I read it in December and I still think about it and think about her. And so I highly recommend that book. And then finally, a book that I'm going to record next is just another inspiring book, but in a different way. It's called A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home. And it's a nonfiction. It's about a woman named Sue Halpern, who, when her daughter goes to college, and she works, she writes, but she has free time and she has this great dog. So they go through training to be a therapy dog and companion pair. And it's about her 2 years of visiting every week this nursing home in her small town. And what, you know, she goes into it thinking, oh, I'll do this good deed. I will give time to these people. And also that she knew her job, her dog needed a job. And she sensed that this would be good for the dog. And of course, she gets back so much more in wisdom and inspiration and great stories from the dog, but the dog's interactions with the residents of the nursing home, and especially from the residents themselves, the people who are there in the last years and months and days of their lives. It's a great book. So it's called A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home. It's by Sue Halpern. And that's from Tantor.
Well, the titles you mentioned should be good encouragement for our listeners to listen to something besides romance. But I want to remind our listeners of something that Karen just mentioned. Next week, we will be featuring Karen in another giveaway, the Jill Chalvis giveaway. And although we won't be talking to Karen directly, she will still be there in the background. Brenda and Karen have put together a fun sort of, I want to say, game. Do you think that's the best description for it? So I want to make sure that everybody tunes in next week.
Well, thank you, Vicki, for having me. This was really fun. It was great talking to you.
Well, and we get to do that in person. Here in May, we're actually going to meet face-to-face at APAC.
We will be on a panel together. That will be exciting.
And I imagine that we'll be talking about that more later. But thank you again for joining us. It's been a blast having you, as I knew it would be.